can keep in line. Everything's fine. You got all that you need with Curry and the Keeper. Yeah, Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper, March 9th, episode number 8.
Curry and the Keeper.
Hello, my queen.
Hello, my love. How are you today? Haven't seen you all day.
I know. We're coof survivors.
We've survived the coof.
We've survived the coof, everybody.
I think the brain fog is finally behind me.
Oh, no. Don't worry. It'll pop up all of a sudden.
That's not reassuring.
I'm just being truthful.
Okay.
Because every single time I say, I have a little bit of brain fog, here's what you say. No, you don't. Say, yeah, I actually do. I can tell because I've been through this and I realize it. Yeah. And so now when I say, don't worry, you'll get some, you will, just a little bit.
But hey, yay, antibodies.
Yay. Gee, I forgot to celebrate my antibodies today.
Well, before we go any further, yes. What are we drinking?
We are drinking, let me see here. I can read it here. This is a Rodney Strong 2015 Reserve.
Wow.
Reserve. It is from Sonoma County. I'm reading the label.
Yes. I see that.
It's a Cabernet, and this comes from Vic Pepe's Bottom Shelf.
Is Bottom Shelf a good shelf?
Yes. In Vic's, Vic is my friend. He's he lives in Dallas. I'd known him for 32 years before Christina was born. From South Jersey. And so I visited him when I stayed with him when I went up to do the Glenn Beck show. And he said, Adam, and I've never seen his house. And he has a great house on the golf course. And they renovated, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe 100 years ago. I don't know when they renovated, but he's got the full-on fridge.
Oh, he's got a full-on fridge?
He's got the fridge. He's got the big dual doors and a whole, like a full-length wine fridge. Yeah.
And completely packed?
Completely stacked. And I think what he's done is he's put the good wine at the bottom.
Oh, so we got a good bottle. Well,
we got a
2015
we got
cab.
A very good bottle.
Let's try it.
Yes. Now, I have to say that he opened this up as a special bottle when we were...
Oh, so you've already had it?
I had, yes.
I told you.
No.
Cheater.
I'm not a cheater.
What the?
I'm sharing the goodness with you. I cheated and brought one home for you, babe.
Okay, new rules. New Curry and the Keeper rules. We have to try the wine together.
Okay, I'm sorry. Vic gave this to me. He said, this is for Curry and the Keeper. I'm going to say, sorry, man, I can't drink that because, new rules.
No, you should have said, could I pick another bottle so that I could try it for the first time with my wife?
So ungrateful.
Gosh.
This is
anyway, thank you, Vic.
Yeah. It's, I think he puts it in the bottom because I know that we came back from lunch or something and Chris, his wife had opened one up with her friends. I could see Vic's face like,
Just the neighbors are here and you're opening up that kind of wine?
Here, baby. Cheers. All right. Me. Cheers me. Cheers to you.
Look at how dark this is. This is fantastic. Cheers.
Mm, cheers. Mm.
Ooh, that's good, really a full body. Of course, you already know.
Well, it's like experiencing it for the first time with you.
Oh, yeah.
It really
backpedal. Backpedal. It's very good. Thank you, Vic. That's very, very kind.
Really cool. I had a good time with Vic up in Dallas.
Yeah.
It was really nice because, I do the Glenn Beck show.
And so, hope everybody had a chance to see Adam on Glenn Beck. He was absolutely amazing. And I'm not just saying that because he's my husband, but it was one of your best interviews.
My pitch is getting better. My rap is getting better.
I'd like to
take
a little bit of responsibility for that.
A little
too.
Bit. Yeah. You're the one that's always, you're the only one that I will accept pure shit from. Like really shit, because
no, it's constructive criticism.
No, it. But you're a professional. First of all, you're my wife, so you can say whatever you want. Second of all, I trust you. Third, you're an actual communications professional who needs to be listened to. So yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate.
Damn,
that.
This is really good.
Yeah, this is gonna go down easy.
So we were up there, and Vic and I, he and his wife were coming in from Costa Rica, I think, on a business thing. And so I was hanging out with his kids, who I hadn't seen. I don't think I'd ever, for the wedding. No, I knew, yeah. I know him from and Alex I saw a number of years ago. Anyway, so we're hanging out and then Vic and Chris come home and then Vic's like at around 11:30 or maybe it was midnight. He's like, oh, let's open this one up. And then Chris's like, oh, I'm going to do charcuterie board. like,
was it on point?
Oh, she, okay. Very much. Yeah. Yeah. No, she makes a good good charcuterie board. And then it was 2 a.m. Oh. And we're like, holy crap, man, I got to get up. We got to go do Beck tomorrow and everything. And so I was a little worried. Like, we've been drinking. But I got up. It was great. Vic went with me. Went to the, you know, I had a really good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was almost like being in an old school television studio again. They really have it set up professionally.
Tell everybody about the museum that Glenn Beck has and what's in the museum.
Yeah. So this museum is a huge building next door. This, I think it's the same size. Like, you know, have you ever been to Burbank Studios or
Universal? I'm from Indiana.
Have you been to Universal Studios? Have you seen the Universal Studios back lot? Have you done the tour on the stupid train where King... Oh, everybody, watch out. It's King Kong. Oh, my God, there's Jaws.
Actually, Jaws, yeah. Jaws. You're like, watch out, everybody. The shark's coming out of the water.
Yeah, exactly. And then it sprays the half of the cars, yes. So those studio buildings that look kind of like a hangar.
Yes,
like a, yes. Like a, so that's what he has. And he said museum, and it basically it's a, well, we think it's a tax strategy, which would make a lot of sense because he's making a lot of money over there. And he's just collecting stuff. And he has all kinds of massive movie memorabilia, a lot of Disney stuff, and a lot of paperwork, the first draft for Disney World that actually was the first investor's perspective for Disneyland that they rejected.
Oh.
The guy said, nah, this will be nothing. And so,
is this open to the public?
No, it's. I think that's the intent, maybe, eventually. There's some war memorabilia.
And he has the ruby slippers from Wizard of Oz,
he has the ruby slippers. He's got Rush Limbaugh's golden microphone. So it's some of that broadcast stuff. Uh-huh. But he has full-size R2-D2 C-3PO. I think one of three made or whatever for the movies. There's Christopher Reeve's Superman suit.
Wow.
Oh, there's Mary Todd Lincoln's dress that she wore when she buried Abe.
Wow.
By the way, hold on to this doorknob. That's Abe Lincoln's doorknob that was on the front of his house. You are now touching something he touched thousands, maybe tens of thousands of times.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he had this compass, you know, like with the 2-point, not a directional compass, with the 2 points for...
Mm-hmm.
What do you use that for, with the 2 points? It's like geometry stuff?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I used to use it in school for poking girls' butts from behind. Like, doink. Because there's 2 points on it, right? And he's telling this whole story, and he's holding...
You sure it was a compass? It was a compass?
I think it's called a compass.
Not like a protractor.
Oh. Is it a protractor?
A little different, Adam.
Sorry.
One's used for math, one's used in the woods.
In Holland, I think it's called a compass. But it's a protractor, I think you're right.
Yes.
Why did I call it a compass? Protractor.
Have you been a Boy Scout? Oh, you were.
I was.
Were you like a little cub?
A Sea Scout.
A cub. Oh,
Sea Scout.
Sea Scout.
Excuse me, okay. Sea Scout. Yeah?
I was a Brownie.
I'm a Seaman. You were a Brownie.
I was a Brownie, yeah.
I bet you were.
And I was a Brownie troop leader, too.
Whoa,
and when my
badass.
When Ellen was in kindergarten, mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, by the end, I couldn't stand those little kids.
I always liked it. I thought it was cool.
Oh.
It always taught me to have 5 cents on me. You know, you'd have all this stuff. You had to have a match, you know, like all these different... Be prepared, right? That's the Boy Scouts marching song.
It was more fun to be a participant than it was for a leader. Because I...
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, my gosh. It was
no
so
doubt.
Much work. And then they wouldn't listen to you. And I'm screaming at them. And I was like, it's time for me to retire. I was like...
Were you screaming? You were screaming at the children, Tina?
I liked my own kids. I didn't really like anybody else's. Hey, I'm just not one of those macaroni necklace moms. I'm just not. I thought I was, but I'm not.
Macaroni.
Anyway, back to the museum.
Wait, at one point, the only thing I did with my dad, when I was 6, I think, was Y Indian Guides.
Mm.
I think it was through the YMCA.
Mm.
And it was just dads and sons. And I don't know, we'd literally make shit with beads. You know, I can't believe my dad's, I had dad patients. I don't think we went to a lot of meetings.
Oh, I was so involved with my girls when they were little.
Yeah.
I mean, they did everything, basketball and karate and gymnastics. And we just threw pasta against, it was like throwing a noodle against the wall to see what was going to stick.
So I was getting beat up at the bus stop.
Oh.
Yeah, I was. I was being bullied.
And look at you now.
And my dad said, well, you need to go to judo.
Oh.
But now, this was in a foreign country, and I barely spoke any Dutch, and all of a sudden, I'm in the judo class, and I get dumped in, just like school, like in the middle of the class, and I didn't know anything, and these guys are falling and diving and dump. Actually, I will say they embraced me very mm-hmm. quickly, and I did learn. I mean, I could dive headfirst over like 8 kids and mm-hmm. then roll and stand up,
mm-hmm.
but I remember I was so... I have trauma from this, and I'll tell you, and it fits in with something that is works with you. So this, after the first lesson, the master comes over to me, and he's very strict. You know, like, and it's in Dutch. I'm like, I don't know. I'm 10. I don't know how old I am. And he says, "What is this with your nails, your toenails?" And he says, "You have them cut next time, or I cut them here." And he hits me right in the middle of my toe. Oh. I'm like, okay. Believe me, my toenails have been pretty good.
Yeah, I'm big on Adam. Yeah. Your nails need to be short.
My nails
you do.
Tidy.
You're really,
don't
really
tell
good.
Me.
No.
You're making me sound like a wild man. Dude, those claws. Thank you. Take it back.
He's very good. I don't like a man with long fingernails. I just don't. I think of like the guys who snort coke with the long pinky nail. Ugh.
Yeah,
it just grosses.
But enough about your job.
No, but what I was going to say.
Let me do the protractor story, then we're done.
Oh, okay.
So he's holding this, it's closed. So he has, you know, and he's kind of holding it in his hand, and he's telling the story about how he was worried one time and he happened to have this piece in his hand and he was rubbing it. And he says, "Now hold on to this." And it's George Washington's protractor.
Oh.
So I'm holding it in my hand. He says, "Now rub where I was just rubbing." And there's this whole rub down piece. And he says, "I have a feeling that George Washington was rubbing this while he was thinking."
Oh.
About, you know, being president or whatever. And she has all these, kind of, like the first electric chair.
Or maybe he did a lot of geometry, because isn't that what you use a
protractor
for?
Well, he was a Freemason, right? So, yeah, of course, this is a total Freemason article.
Yeah.
It just really interesting. But it was kind of funny because, you know, Vic's my boy, right? So, you know, and this is they're kind of.
What do you mean by my boy?
Like where I go, Vic goes. You know, Vic's with me and we're hanging out. We're at the studio. And then they said, "Let's go take a look at the museum, which is across the way." And Caesar, I think, is like Glenn's bodyguard. And he was kind of like pushing Vic off to the side a little bit. We're all going in together. You know?
Oh, because he didn't know who he was? Or
yeah, whatever. Yeah. It was just kind of cute. I'm like, no.
Well, that's good that you protected him.
Don't be handling. Well, Vic looks cool as a guy who's going along with you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great guy.
But it was I had a good time.
Yeah. Really and like did. I said, if you have not seen that interview, I encourage everybody to go see it. It was one of your best.
And it was fun to be there with Vic. That was super fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And we have so many male friends.
Yeah. Speaking of, I was in bed one night and
thinking of my male friends, apparently. Oh, Vic, bring your wine from the bottom shelves.
Could it be one that you and Adam did not drink already?
No, I think we sampled everything.
No, but speaking of friends, we were laying in bed the other night and we were talking and I said, "Man, I need a girlfriend out here. I don't have any girlfriends." I have no friends out here. I have lots of friends that I keep in touch with, you know, on texting and in Chicago and in Florida. And of course, I have my amazing sisters and my daughters, but like, I don't have a girlfriend out here.
I'm not enough girlfriend for you?
Well, you know, sometimes you just need a girlfriend, you know? Okay,
well, you can talk to me about everything, as you know.
So, yes. So, lo and behold, so we went
to... This is good, yeah.
So, we went to see our friends Julie and Ben in Austin last Friday night. And let me just tell you, her charcuterie board has blown anything away that I've ever done.
Nothing, and I think that she
no
did
comparison.
She might have purchased this. Do you think she bought it?
No. Julie, did you buy that pre-made?
It was expansive. It had all kinds of meats. It had, she even had, French bread and then with the cheese in the jar with the oil.
Oh my gosh. It was like amazing.
And olives and nuts and multiple cheeses. And I'm like, who needs dinner? Just this, shove this into my face. We drove it for an hour and a half, you know, we got there. And I was thinking, gosh, when we get there, I can't wait for some wine and a charcuterie board would be nice. And there it was. God answered my prayer.
It was like a light shone down on the house.
Charcuterie board this way.
Just a little background. I met Julie in 2015 when I worked at Ronald McDonald House Charities, and she actually volunteered to help us produce a series of video, not a major video.
She's a television journalist, right?
Yes, yeah. And I believe she's in PR now. And so I had gotten to know her, and I just thoroughly enjoyed her. And we had gone out to dinner with them once.
Was it lunch or dinner?
It was dinner. We went out for sushi.
Dinner. It was early dinner.
No, sushi. We went out for sushi at that Sushi Masa place.
It was early.
And she ordered everything because they had been there so many times. And it was so interesting because she said after she had met Adam that time, she thought he was just a typical Hollywood type.
Totally. That's me, baby.
And I'm like, Adam? No.
Wait, she told you that after?
No,
after
she told us when we were there on Friday.
She's like, nah, fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And, really? Is that who you're with, Tina? How disappointing.
Well, we lost touch. I mean, we would keep in touch just here and there.
Well,
and
she has she had two boys at the time and a third one.
She was expecting a third one.
Yeah, she was in anti-terrorism mode. I understood that. I'm like, I can understand. Yeah. She contacted you for 10 years with those. I mean, they're beautiful boys, by the way.
Oh, they're
one of them apparently is ours. It's like two of the kids look just like them. Blonde. And the middle one is like, oh, it looks like my my nephew.
Exactly. Like Julius. Yeah. Like,
oh.
Exactly.
And she said, oh, this is your child. Yeah. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, life goes on. She, you know, she had her baby. She's, you know, they're working. They're doing their thing. And Adam and
remember,
I are doing
their thing. Remember, they came out here when you were working. Remember that one time?
Well, yes. And so all of a sudden, no, her husband started listening to No Agenda.
Right.
And he told her, you know, they're married now because I had just started dating you and was talking about you when we were doing the video. And and she was surprised. And then she, out of the blue, she sent me a text in, I think it was August or September. And so they came out to Fredericksburg and they were just kind of toying with the idea of.
No, wait, they were, sorry, I got to recall the history here. They also just wanted to chat about the crazy shit going on in the world because they live in kind of weird Austin, like weird, like everyone's still kind of nuts about COVID stuff and other things going on. It's not quite fitting with their thinking and life outlook. And because of the show, you know, and I could tell Ben, her husband, Ben was really like, oh, his head's on fire. You know, this is a smart guy. He's like, what the hell is going on? And the first thing I did is, you know, you guys need gummies.
Well, they came out to see Adam. I was in Chicago.
You were in Chicago. That's right.
So I hadn't seen her probably 5+ years, and they saw you before.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, so they came out, and so we started. They loved Fredericksburg. They loved our neighborhood, and they were contemplating moving out of Austin and couldn't find a place in Fredericksburg, and looked at a couple lots that are in our neighborhood, and nothing was really available. And so we're at dinner with them, and we have this fabulous dinner, and we're sitting there.
After the charcuterie board, there was salmon and what's the yellow rice?
It was turmeric rice,
and it was
amazing.
Great.
Yeah, can you tell we love the meal, Julie? So more towards the end of the evening, her boys come out and they said, "Okay, they made something for you," and they handed both of us an envelope, and they wanted us to open it at the same time. So when we opened it, it said "Howdy, neighbor," and they actually bought the lot right down the street from us, and. For me, just
you
saying,
were jumping up and down, girl. You were jumping up and down.
I love surprises like that, and it made me so happy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have a girlfriend here, and one that I just adore. So
I'm immediately making sure their property is safe. I'm sending pictures like, okay, only two trees died during the snowmageddon, so you're good here.
Yeah.
But also, she got it through Mike Stark. Did she get it through Mike Stark?
Yeah, the same realtor that we worked with. Well, he was the realtor for this house. Yeah.
What's cool about Stark is he's connected because that's how we know everybody else.
Yeah.
So when these guys move out here, they start building, we're going to have all the nut jobs working for them. Mike, we have Mike working for him. We have Chris and Greg.
They're not jobs.
No, no. I mean, I say that with super love. You know that.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
No, they're great. I mean, hey, our generator's installed and works. Hello.
Yeah. Oh, can I say just one thing, though? So, Julie.
Yes, you may say it's your show.
Oh.
You're half of the show.
I'm taking over. Julie gave me this book that her grandmother wrote. It's called All But My Life, and it's her memoir about her Holocaust
experience.
And I'm halfway through this book. It's called All But My Life by Gerda Weissman Klein. This book is riveting. I cannot put it down. And I'm reading it and I have to remind myself that this is a true story, that this happened to this woman as a young girl. And I think about some of the terms that are thrown around today when people call somebody a Nazi or thrown to concentration camps, and they have no freaking idea. If you get a chance, and you, I would highly recommend that book. It is, it's amazing. It is, it's
riveting. Actually going to put it into the show notes. Hey, it's available as an audio book too.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And again, I have to stop and say, oh my gosh, this is a true story. This is a true story. So anyway, and
didn't her mom also get the,
no, her grand, it was her grandma.
A grandmother. I'm sorry. Congressional medal from Obama.
Yes.
For this. Now, was that a congressional medal of freedom?
I think so.
Presidential, maybe a presidential medal.
I don't know, but there's a picture of her and Obama in the book, but it's an amazing story. I'm halfway through it and I'm just, I can't put it down. So anyway, thank you, Julie. I so appreciate you sharing that with me. And I'm so happy we're going to be neighbors. I'm going to have a girlfriend. Might be a few years, but that's okay.
And well, you could build pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Besides that, Julie also sent me a really nice note because she had heard about, did she send you a note as well?
No, you copied me on. You want to go into that? Because I have a whole list of things for that. Yeah. Or do you want to talk about your generator or our generator?
Hold on a second. God generator. I got to think. Both start with a G, with the E before the O. Generator first for a second. Sorry, God. Hold on a sec. I got you, bro. Hold on a minute.
But gas fire comes before generator.
Not in the sequence of what's being built.
Okay.
So Chris came over and we finalized everything and I fired that puppy up and ran the whole house on it for 15, 20 minutes. We checked, you know, turning the power off, turning it on. I'm so excited. And now, of course, we know that the power will never go out ever again. But I feel so good about our fortress.
Yes.
And then the gasifier is the next step. That's Greg.
You got to explain what that is.
Well, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can look it up. During the Great Depression, people figured out a way to build furnaces where you burn wood and then out the other end through a series of tubes comes what they call syngas, which is you can stick right into a carburetor of an engine and it will run. And there's many pictures of trucks, pickup trucks running on this. And it costs about, today's price is a penny a mile, which is a heck of a lot cheaper than your gas. But the point is to have that as a backup to the backup, because now that we're paying $2.90 per gallon of
propane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can always, if you run out or whatever's going on, that we can just roll the gasifier out of the garage, hook it up to the generator, and put wood, dead cats, zombies, anything will burn in that thing.
Yeah, and so
we got a lot of wood from Julie's land. Actually, I'm gonna take her wood and put it in our gasifier.
Yeah. So on the No Agenda show, John made a joke like, "Oh yeah, I can see Tina in the back of the truck just throwing the wood."
Now I have different ideas about the vehicle part, but for us, and then we are 100% self-sustaining.
Yeah, but if we're driving down the street and baby, we need those sticks. Can you run out and pick them up on the side of the road?
What do you mean run out? What do you mean? You're already in the back. I'm just saying more sticks. We're late. More fire.
I don't think so, dude.
Anyway, so then, and she listens to Curry and the Keeper. Mm-hmm. And she had heard, you talking about me being nudged and how we both felt about God and universe, et cetera. And she sent me a beautiful note to follow up on that, because she became a believer, I think, 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Very interesting for her because, coming from this is her grandma.
She was raised Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Raised Jewish, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she just sent me a beautiful note. Do you have, is there anything you want to, you have a whole bunch about it. So I'll just follow
it. It's on my phone, but what she had specifically suggested was to, watch some videos by a New York City pastor,
Keller,
named, Tim Keller. Right. And so we did watch one of them and I'm eager to watch more of them, but before we even get into that, hold on. I got to replenish his wine because he's sucking it down.
I literally put it right up there on the desk and Tina's like, oh, hold on, stop the show. He needs more wine. Yes, I do.
But the amazing number of emails that we have received from everybody on our quest to build our faith has been, some of them just brought me to tears. I mean, just touched my heart.
And I'm not talking about one or two. I mean, 10, 20. Oh my gosh. It's
touched
so much.
My heart completely from. So anyway, so Julie recommended Tim Keller and then also the Chosen app. And so we have yet to experience the Chosen
app. We watched one together that I'd watched almost all of myself, and that was him at a Google Talks in 2008. It was a little better when I watched it the first time. I don't know why, or maybe it was the sound or something because we watched it on TV. But he was, what I liked about him is he was approaching it from, well, it actually takes a much bigger leap of faith to not believe in God. If you believe in humanism or morals, you know, define all that. Mm-hmm. How can you prove that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's much easier actually to believe in God than to show all these reasons why you don't believe in him. Mm-hmm. It takes a much bigger leap mm-hmm. of faith. It was just, to me, it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I like the intellectual argument because that, of course, is the issue. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I intellectually believe in this?
I liked also that Julie said, don't get bogged down in the church dogma.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
But I heard, I actually have a friend on Instagram. Her name is Sarah. And she, we've been corresponding.
Is this an Insta-friend?
Yeah, and I think it came through Saddle Tramp brand. I don't know her. I think her first name is, Brianne. I'm not sure.
She listens to us.
She
makes the leather stuff?
Saddle Tramp brand. Does. Yeah, yeah. But Sarah, I think that's how we got connected. And it's interesting. We were corresponding back and forth, and she was going to recommend a book. And there's no such thing as a coincidence. And somehow somebody she knows who is affiliated with this book had contacted her right before she recommended it to me. And it's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. So I want to look into that. And then we also have Rachel McMahon had suggested The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel.
Hold on a second. I got to write something.
There's so many. There's so much that.
Okay. Right. And anything else that she said about this?
She just recommended that book. That was from an email Rachel had sent to both of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then Steve Webb, the Godcaster.
The OG Godcaster, yes. The original Godcaster, known him for almost 20 years.
Yeah, he reached out to us and said, hey, if you have any questions, I would love to have them over for dinner.
You know, they were going to come by. Mm-hmm. They were coming back from they went on vacation in Florida, and they were coming back through Fred. And he said, dude, we both got the coof here. You don't want us. We're just going to go straight home.
Mm-hmm.
They're lovely people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've corresponded with them for, you know, 15, 16 years mm-hmm. easily. Yeah, that would be cool. And he's a pastor.
And David Foley had recommended Jordan Peterson's biblical series. So we have a lot.
I had forgotten that, mm-hmm. that David and his family pray before dinner. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? We stayed at their house.
Oh, yes, I do completely remember that.
And when he said that, I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And so we've just been surrounded. I mean, we are being like enveloped in love with this. Yeah. And I'm so touched by it. It brings tears to my eyes. I'm so touched, and I can feel the presence of God around us all the time. I can feel it.
Well, a number of things have happened to me that I literally texted you at work and said, dude, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you said, universe. I said, or God.
Yes. One and of the same, in my mind.
Well, of course, mm-hmm. of course. And mm-hmm. it's like, holy moly.
Mm-hmm. So we are so appreciative of all your notes.
But God is not sending us enough boostergrams and Satoshis. I don't know. Somehow, thanks for all the book recommendations. Thank God Vic sent us some wine because, you got to up the ante a little bit, people.
But, I mean, we definitely feel the love for sure, and so many people reaching out. So thank you. And we are definitely getting into a lot of this.
So. And I like that so many couples listen together.
Oh, yes.
Cheers me again,
cheers
baby.
To that.
There you go. Because what's our slogan again? You've made up a slogan.
You mean... Oh, that's on the artwork.
Pour yourself a glass.
Pour
get
a
ready
glass
to laugh.
And get ready to laugh.
Yeah, yeah. I like this. I like this.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's our brand, baby.
Okay, now to the bad stuff.
Oh,
yep. Now to the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that the Curry and the Keeper clan.
We have a clan.
We have a clan.
It's not a fan club.
It's not quite a tribe. Oh. We're a clan. We're having. Well, some of us are having a big problem with Phoebe's hair.
Oh.
Some of us are. I have a lot of issues with Phoebe's. Phoebe is just an update on Phoebe. We love this dog to death. She's the best. She's fantastic.
I want to shave her.
You can't shave the dog. you know you can't shave the dog. The problem is, okay, so we knew that she would shed. We knew this. Now, the fact that she has apparently straw instead of hair that is very white and shows up on everything. Okay, we can still live with that. It's the removal tools that we're having a problem with. And I yes. bring this up in hope that someone has the ultimate dog hair removal brush. Because I think if you had something that worked, you'd feel a little less
exasperated. Maniacal. Okay, I do.
You were yelling. Yes. You were mad this morning. I was morning, pissed, bro. Yeah. You were mad.
It gets all over my clothes. And I have, I'm not kidding you, three different kinds of lint brushes that do not
None of them work
with her hair.
None of them work.
They don't. And I even tried vacuuming my leggings to get the hair off, and it would not. Mm. I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy. And I said to Adam, I go, it's a matter of time before her hair ends up in our food because it's everywhere else. Everywhere. You
to
touch
be honest,
her.
I'm picking hair out of my mouth all the time with her. I mean, oh yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I didn't want to say it because you're like, it's going to be in my food. It's already in my food. I don't know where it is with you. So we have the, I hate that we have to use it, but I did put it on a segregated network. We have the shark robot, which runs at night. Without that, it would be, you'd wake up and you'd be upset right
away.
There would be
hairballs everywhere.
That thing runs it, and it has to go back to the dock three times to blow its wad into the receptacle. It has to recharge before the third one. Like, dude, I'm really tired from picking up this dog's hair. And it gets a lot, but
it doesn't get it at all.
It's floating in the air. I mean, it's just all around us.
So anybody who's got
any ideas,
we have the Firmerator comb, so I comb her. And she loves it. She's at the spa. She just put some cucumbers on her eyes. But the dog hair, it's out of control. So any suggestions, Tina@curry.com, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that. I was a little crazy this morning about it. I like a clean house. I'm kind of a control freak that way. I'm a minimalist.
And I thought that this morning I did pretty well with that.
You didn't say a word. You were just like, I'm shutting up and I'm just going to keep doing my email.
I would look at you and go.
You should see the look on his face, like sad puppy look. Like, sorry.
I didn't.
Because what was the thing when we first started talking about a dog? I said, I don't want a dog that sheds.
No, we knew this when Phoebe came into our life. We knew it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We knew.
I kept looking at the dog as I'm vacuuming, trying to vacuum all the hair up. And I said, you're lucky. I love you because you would be out of here.
You're so damn cute, dog. Hey, she's getting real. I know she still can be weird with you when you're walking, but she's gotten really good. I mean, I've got her to a point where
she listens to you. No problem at all. No problem.
Yeah, she does.
And she does dance for me every morning with her bones. She gives me that.
She dances for you. She listens to me.
But this dog does not play. She does not fetch anything. She doesn't play. She's excited in the morning when she sees us because she's let out of jail.
She's sitting here in the studio.
She sleeps in Adam's studio.
She loves it in here. It's the studio dog.
Yeah, because he's got the disco lights going on in here. She just loves it.
Pate in the studio. But that's not her. That's not her culture. That's not what she is. Her job is to hang out with the flock, and she does just what we do: sit around.
Yeah,
I mean, be honest about
it. She just watches us. She's watching me.
One eye always open. One eye open. If there's anything afoot, she's up and at him, and she's ready to go kill.
Yeah,
and that's her job.
Although, interestingly enough, we walk through the door. We'll go out for lunch or dinner or whatever. We walk through the door. No dog. Like, where is she? Then all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, she sleepily comes out of the bedroom like, oh, you're home?
Believe me.
Like a good watchdog you are.
Believe me. She's the watchdog you want.
Anyway,
she's the one.
So it's just the hair. It's the hair sitch.
Hair is indeed an issue.
Yeah. So... anything? What else you got?
I got lots of stuff. Okay. What else you got on your list?
We just
blew past God in 3 minutes, so we're done. Thanks, God.
No, it's still developing. It really is.
It really feels like. You know what keeps popping up in my head? Hold on a second. I got to play this song for you.
Oh, we're gonna get a song, everybody.
Yeah, completely. I'm gonna go breaking the rules. Breaking the rules. Gonna play a song on the podcast. I don't know why, but Oh, God. Spotify decides to install a new version.
Okay. I guess we'll come back to it.
We will come back to it.
Yeah.
It may not take that long. But when I'm walking, and that's another thing that Julie said. She said that she would Google anything by Tim Keller, and then she'd listen to it on her walks.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, I started to look forward to my walks. Hold on. Let me hear this. I got it up.
This is our DJ for you, everybody.
Well, I wasn't prepared for this. It just came up all of a sudden. Oh, that's funny. I spelled God, D-O-G. I don't know what's going on.
D-O-G?
I know. It came out dog instead of God. I did not.
Because we were just talking about Phoebe. That's why.
That's what happened. Okay. So.
Well, I really believe that God brought Phoebe into our life.
Oh, I mean, that was just. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because we were just talking about getting a dog, and then all of a sudden, this precious, precious, sweet dog. You know what we were talking about? Like, I wonder what her dead name is.
Here we go. Is this it? Is this it?
Oh, everybody, get your glass of wine.
Doesn't even sound like it. Here it is.
Oh.
This is the song I keep hearing in my head. Are these all fake songs? Are these all fake versions?
I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Okay. This is the song. I finally found it. Do you recognize the song?
Not at all.
It's from the musical genius baby Stevie Wonder from Songs in the Key of Life. Go have a talk with God.
Oh.
This is what plays in my head. Wait for the chorus and then we'll stop.
And if yours you cannot find, you should talk it over to him. He'll give you
peace
of mind. When you feel your life too hard, just go have a talk with God.
I love that.
And there's another part where he sings, talk to God, he cares. You know,
oh,
yeah,
babe, this I is love what that.
Yeah, see, it was worth the wait.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And that's just like, that's what comes up in my head. And I'm not like I'm having a talk with God at that moment, but I'm just like, okay.
You're getting nudged everywhere, baby.
Dude, I need more projects. Thanks, God.
Going back to Phoebe.
Yeah.
I wonder what her dad...
From like God to dog. From God to dog. It's just switching two letters.
I wonder what her dead name is.
You already told me. It's Becky.
It's Becky.
Becky the
we'll
slut.
Call her Becky the slut. Because Phoebe was found in the tree line with her puppies, so she obviously got knocked up. She was living on the street.
Not for a second. Could you think that she got raped? You're right. She didn't get raped.
No,
she would bite someone's head off. You're right.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm just, and the thing is, I'm sorry for this strange transition, but she is the sweetest, sweetest dog. And it's hard for me to imagine that anybody would just let her go. So, but anyway, her backstory is Becky living in the woods, hanging out on the streets, digging all the male dogs.
Hey, baby.
And then she had some pups. And then she found us.
Pretty much.
Oh.
Pretty anyway, much it.
Anyway.
All right. What else you got on your list there, darling?
Well,
stuff for us.
So Adam and I like going to this local restaurant here. There's a few local restaurants we like here in Fredericksburg, but one of our favorite is the Hitching Post.
The Hitching Post.
It's a Texas steakhouse.
Comfort food. Texas comfort food with usually one guy on a little riser stage.
Yeah.
Who play songs. Yeah.
Who plays cover songs.
We haven't seen Mike, the bartender, for a couple of weeks.
No.
He's been out.
Every time we would go in there, he would look at Adam and he'd go, Anthony Bourdain!
Like, Anthony Bourdain's in the house, everybody.
Finally, I was like, dude, this is Adam Curry. Do you know this is not Anthony Bourdain?
He's like, no, I don't know who that is. I said, good. And the Tina's like, no, you need to see this. Look at his hair. Hair picture.
But anyway, so we went to dinner there a couple nights ago, and we always sit at the bar. We just like sitting at the bar, and all of a sudden this woman starts. Why did she? Oh, you asked her about her coffee.
No.
She ordered what's it called?
She ordered something, and I said, oh, nice Irish coffee.
And she, Kyoko coffee?
K- Kyoko?
I don't know what it was.
He's like, no, this is Kyoko coffee. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. My mistake.
Yes, your mistake, because she would shut
and
up.
And you were in the middle of us, and she told,
oh,
but she was interesting. I mean, it was too bad that you were
looked
next
at me
to
and
her.
You go, I'm sorry.
I did say, I'm sorry for starting that. Didn't mean to fire
I know everything about her life, when she got married, how old her husband is, how old she is, her daughter, who she dated, her sister, her mom. I mean, this is in the span of, and I'm like, I just want to eat my my mahi-mahi.
What about it, though? She was nice. She had a good story.
Yeah.
I think she was rich, and that guy was married to her for her money, like me. He looked a little
true
bit younger.
Story.
He looked a little bit younger Hashtag than she
true
did.
True story.
She looked a little bit younger than he
I don't
did.
Know why I have on my notes, hitching post, what kind of chicken?
What?
I have on my notes, hitching post, what kind of chicken? I don't know. Were we talking about chicken at the hitching post?
No, I can't remember anything about chicken.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Interesting.
Anyway, but yeah, it's interesting. So be careful who you strike conversations
up. Oh, please.
I couldn't finish my meal.
Meanwhile, the guy who was playing was doing all kinds of cool cover songs. Mm-hmm. I dug him a lot. He was good.
Yeah.
People, you need to come out to Fredericksburg.
I was just going to say
you
that.
You guys got
to
see
this
place.
We'll take you to the Hitchin Post.
Yeah, this is a cool place.
It's totally our vibe. And there's another restaurant called Martini's where they have
a little bit more. Our Hitchin Post is like,
it's true.
We
like
don't
want to
cook. Let's just go. Let's get
it's
some
like
comfort
Texas.
Food. And the Martini Bar is like, let's go be Frank Sinatra in Texas.
Oh, yeah. And they have all kinds of martinis.
Martinis,
yeah.
And they got usually a crooner.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's some young guy who doesn't know half the lyrics.
Yeah, we love the vibe there, too. There's a lot of cool places here. Yeah, a lot of cool places.
It's pretty damn good out here.
Yeah, no complaints. We did go, our friends Haley and Ryan came from, they live in closer to Austin, and they came here for the day. And we went to a new place called the Salvation Speakeasy.
That was very cool.
It was. And they took this, it's this house behind a gate. So you needed the code to get in. And we got
the code, of course, 1776. Yeah. Very, very hill country.
And so we ended up meeting them there. And I didn't realize that speakeasy, well, it's a gin distillery.
Yeah, speakeasies
correct?
Were the illegal places where you hung out to drink.
Yeah.
And
but why only gin? They only had gin drinks.
They're gin distillery. That's what they do.
Oh, yeah.
They sell gin. Did you not notice they sell gin?
Yes, yeah. All the drinks on the menu were gin.
They are a gin distillery. Yeah. We basically went to the gift shop of the gin distillery. But it was so cool. And the owner was really super nice.
Oh, yeah, because he caught on to who you were. And he was up in your grill.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know
that's
this
what now. Haley said, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that, but.
But they had some really cool drinks,
I thought he
too.
Would just like me for who I am, but no, of course, it's because I'm washed up VJ. He didn't know me from podcasting 2.0 or 1.0.
Oh, baby.
It's okay. I can survive.
No, but it was really cool. And, man, you sucked down the cocktails there, dude.
So? Did I get you home?
You did.
This is another great thing about Fredericksburg. You can kind of just put it on 30 miles an hour on the cruise control. You'll be fine. Just go straight on Maine.
That's true. That's true.
I don't advocate for any kind of drunk driving, and I never have.
Yeah. No, but, no. And I'm always watch your speed. We do not want to mess up our lives that way or mess up somebody else's life.
We don't want to mess up anyone's life. But I did have a couple of cocktails.
You had three.
I'm good, though.
You're tall.
Yeah, thanks.
It spreads out.
Yeah, I put it in my hollow tooth.
It was fun, wasn't
good
it?
Good to bring that up. Yeah, that was
I
a
am,
lot of these cool places.
I am Julie, the social director. Yeah, I am the one that plans. Careful, dude.
Oh, fuck. I did it again.
He just, we call Adam Spot.
Mr. Spot. Did I dribble my wine?
I don't see it.
The Vic will kill me. You're wearing my wine. No, I got it. I nailed it.
He was so excited. But yes, I'm Julie, the social director, and I find these things.
Cruise director.
Oh, cruise director. But wasn't she the cruise social director?
No, she was just the cruise director.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it was really fun. So if you come to Fredericksburg, hit us up. We'll take you to the speakeasy.
Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely.
That was a lot of fun. We had a really nice time.
And the
Haley,
weather's getting a little nicer, so things are starting to
look
good.
We got to hit a winery, though.
Yeah,
dude,
we do.
We're going to have...
Did you dude me?
I dude you, yeah.
We're going to have to... Yeah, we do have to hit some wineries and get back into the swing of things. I'm very excited. We're also going on vacation which has not been announced publicly, but we are going on
John
vacation.
John probably knows if he listens to Curry.
He does not listen to Curry and the Key. He doesn't even listen to my Glenn Beck interview.
Oh.
No. We're going to the only country that would let us in without vaccination.
We talked about this, Aruba.
We did talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm hoping now that everything, you know, because COVID's gone because now we're focused on Ukraine.
Yeah, Russia. We're canceling Russia.
Because Ukraine actually cured COVID for us. So
I think Putin did that. I think Putin cured. Yeah.
So hopefully by the time we go there, we're not even going to need a test. That's what I'm
And then hoping. We're going to New York.
But we both had the COOF, so we have the antibodies. So.
Yeah, we have antibodies, but we don't have any proof.
Pure and
we
bloods.
have to go to We have to go to New York.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. So my Aunt Meg passed away. We didn't talk about that because it was 2 weeks ago. My Aunt Meg passed away. I'm bummed that I didn't see her.
I know. We have a great picture. We have a great picture.
Oh, my God. That's the best picture ever.
From a wedding in 2016.
I really want to post that somewhere, but I didn't want to do it without talking to my cousins. But she was such a fantastic lady. And I will always remember... I did a show from their driveway once.
You did?
Yeah, I came through. Can't remember exactly.
In Armonk,
yeah. And this is going back. This is probably the first Hot Pockets tour, which was
with yeah.
Yes, but it was 2012.
Oh,
I think 12 or 11. And you know she ran the Russia desk at the CIA. In fact, something I read from her obituary, which I did not know, that she outranked my Uncle Don at the CIA.
Yeah, yeah.
It does not surprise me.
Yeah.
And after the show, she said, I really liked your program. I listened to all of it. I have some notes.
Oh.
And she had taken notes and she said, you're a patriot and I really appreciate it. And I don't remember much of her notes, but I remember her saying that. She says, I really appreciate what you're doing. And it meant so much to me. They were kind of like... Lots of people have kind of older role models, parents who are a little bit more like parents to you mm-hmm. in some way. You can talk to them about other things than mm-hmm. your actual parents. And my cousin Lucy had that actually with my parents. Mm-hmm. And they were like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Don is still with us. And so hopefully he'll be there in April. And Christina's coming in.
We're so excited about that. So we're flying into New York and then we're going to, Christina's going to fly into New York. And meet us, and then we're going to drive up to Armonk.
And then after that, we're going to go into the city.
And then we're going to have dinner with my daughter, who I haven't seen for 9 months.
9 months, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she might have a child.
A child? Who?
9 months, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and Christina and at least love each other, so mm-hmm. that'll be fine. And then she's going to come back with us for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And hang out.
I hope longer than a couple of days. So
I hope so too. It's been so hard for her.
I know.
Holland and the lockdowns and the restrictions. And you know, I can say she had real anxiety of going back into society. You know, it's messed. They've screwed with the kids so much.
Yeah, she's doing better though, so that's good.
Yeah, she is.
That's good.
She is.
So so we have Aruba, then we're going to New York, and then we're going to Charleston for a No Agenda meetup.
Oh, when is that? That's in May?
May 16th, I want to say. We're doing that. Yes.
Which will be our kind of honeymoon anniversary.
We're not doing, listen, on our honeymoon,
I mean, anniversary.
We did a No Agenda meetup in London, okay? I'm not this is not a substitute for our anniversary celebration. No.
Does Aruba count?
No. No.
That doesn't count?
That's 2 months too early.
Oh, we went to Portugal, man. What are you talking about?
But remember we were in London and we did a meetup.
Was it fun? Did you have a good time?
I did, but come on.
Oh, that's right. I didn't propose right to you. We didn't have a beautiful wedding.
I got to tell the proposal story. This is such a fantastic story.
We have not talked about that on the show?
I don't think so. We talked about how we met, but when we talk about the proposal story.
It's worth it. By the way, dudes, this was a good one. Dudes, I nailed this. I think I nailed it. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah.
Third time's a charm.
Last time is a charm.
Last time.
We're saying
a charm.
That third time.
That's
we're saying,
it. We're saying
last
time.
Time. Yes.
You got it.
So Adam and I moved in together in 2017 and we're obviously very much in love and I got to fill his glass again.
I'm sorry. It's the story.
Dude.
It's the story. We had a big lunch.
Oh, we did. We went out for lunch today. I love our midweek lunches.
Well, you know, I had all of a sudden a hole dropped in my calendar. I'm like, dude, let's go out for lunch.
No.
And you went, yeah.
Oh, did you just dude me?
I dude-ed you.
Oh, you did dude me.
Vic, shit is working, bro.
Yeah, we're excellent. Just sucking it down.
Excellent.
Sucking in like soot.
It'd be better with one of Chris's charcuterie boards.
Oh.
Or Julie's, for that matter. Any charcuterie board. Do you have a piece of cheese? Anything.
Just
a rind. So I can scrape the rind.
So anyway, so we moved in 2017 after dating for 2 years. And Adam kept saying to people, when I ask her to marry me, when I ask her to marry me. And we finally had a conversation. I said to him, I said, look.
No, that's not, there was no conversation. You went, dude.
Shut up.
Either ask me to marry you or shut up.
I did not. That is not how it went.
No, that's correct. But that was the message.
Okay. How it went down.
You were right.
I said, look, you don't need to ask me to marry you. I'm committed to you. I love you. We don't need to be married, but you need to stop saying that in front of me because you're setting an expectation. And because one Christmas, I got my nails done. I got the ring finger, like all fancy, thinking that maybe.
Wait, whoa. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Really?
Never told you that. Mm-hmm. Christmas 2017.
Oh, baby.
When we went
really?
To Chicago. Yeah. And I was like, wah, wah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because you had asked my sister what kind of ring I liked.
No, I asked Lisa. I asked your sisters and your mother for permission to marry you like a proper gentleman does. Doesn't mean that it's next week, but okay.
Anyway,
Stop. I need some more information. Did Lisa tell you that I asked her that? You rat bastard, Lisa.
No, Lisa said, what kind of ring do you want?
Rat bastard.
So anyway, so...
I asked your daughters. I asked them personally.
Okay, wait a minute. Back up. So Christmas 2017, got my nails done. I had a little nice on the ring finger thinking, I don't know. So anyway, that's when I was like, it's okay, baby. It's a good story. You should see his face.
So we need to do video on this show now? I think we do.
So I had asked him, I'm like, you stop saying that because you're setting up an expectation because I was disappointed over Christmas.
I didn't know that. This is the first I'm hearing of the big Christmas disappointment. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Hey, it turned out beautiful.
Okay, now tell everybody
forward.
How well I did.
Okay, so fast forward. We're going.
Wine is good with podcasting, just so you know. That works very well.
So we end up, we're going to Italy. We went to Italy in September 2018 for Willow and Alessandro's 25th wedding anniversary.
My sister and my brother.
Yes, it's his sister and his brother, and they live in Firenze, right?
Florence.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. So they had this huge party in this beautiful castle. I mean, it's like storybook. It's like that movie Under the Tuscan Sun.
It was also the family and everyone. Everyone was there. It was nice.
So then Adam and I drove up to Lake Como and we stayed at this
George Clooney's place.
No, we didn't stay.
We stayed at
a really beautiful Airbnb, like right on the lake. It was absolutely stunning. And you know, we're doing our thing. Adam's doing the show.
That place was sick, by the way.
Oh my God.
That was a badass place.
It was modern,
but on the lake. Yeah.
So Adam goes, let's go someplace really nice for dinner, like really nice. I'm like, okay. So we're looking at...
Pay attention. I let her choose the restaurant. Ballsy is that?
And I make the reservation. He's like, let's do something nice. And I'm like, okay. And so I make the reservation. And so I'm not thinking anything of it. And so I'm getting dressed. And I'm like, should I wear casual shoes or nice shoes? He's like, you should wear the nice shoes. I'm like, okay. I didn't think anything of it. And so we go to this restaurant. It was, oh my gosh, what was the name of the restaurant? I can't even freaking remember.
Bellagio.
It was in Bellagio, but I don't remember the name. Mistral.
There you go.
And so we're seated at this unbelievable table. Like
right on the water.
Right on the water. And then Adam, in his typical self, is just this, he's going back and forth with the waiter about the wine, and he's having a good time.
Well, he was serving us toilet wine made by prisoners. He had a whole story about it. I'm like, this is fucking cool. This is made by prisoners in their toilet bowls? Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
And so, they, you know, they bring us our first course, they bring us the wine, and I turn around and I look and I see them bringing two bottles of champagne, and I'm thinking two glasses, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking, oh my God, these people must really like us because they must like Adam. And they set the wine down and then Adam puts his napkin on the table and I'm like, what is happening here? And Adam got down on one knee and proposed, and I was shocked.
And then shocked. They played the live band, five-piece band played,
The love story song.
The theme from Love Story. Yes. Da, na, na, na. Yeah.
And you had somebody on their iPhone film the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I love surprises like that. I was completely taken by surprise. You did really, really, really well.
Yes. So from my side, here's how that went.
Well, wait, 1 minute though. So we were exploring Lake Como, remember? And you were talking to Unico. Mm-hmm. And he was talking in Dutch, and, uh-huh. and Unico actually knew somebody from the restaurant.
No.
Oh, he didn't?
Okay. He said, what restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Because I said, look, I'm going to propose to her, and we've got the restaurant. He says, which restaurant? And I said, Mistral. He says, I'll call you right back. And he said, okay, I'm going to take care. I got this. I had to pay for it, but he said, I got this. And, because he was from the restaurant, he was a chef back in the day. So he knows how to talk to these people. And so he got everything all hooked up and we were talking in Dutch, which was great.
Because you kept throwing in a Chris Brown. Cause you were working on Chris Brown.
Yeah, that's Chris Brown. Okay. How's the restaurant doing? Chris Brown. And then, so then I had a ring, which we'll talk about in a moment. I had a ring for quite a few weeks.
You did?
I had it for 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah. And in this ring box, I'm like, how am I getting? So I had it in my back pocket. And as we're going to the car, I was kind of like getting into the car crooked. You didn't see it.
I didn't pay any attention.
But I was sitting kind of weird because of this big bump in my back pocket. And I would say, and by the way, after that, the proposal, everything, we got the song, the whole thing, and then fireworks went off over the lake, which I take total credit for.
Fireworks. Like, look, fireworks.
I did this for you, baby.
No,
people around are going, what a great man. What a great man. Look what he did for her.
That was by far the most romantic thing ever.
I nailed that.
You nailed it. It was unbelievable.
Now, the ring I did not nail. Because Tina's like, I had listened very carefully. She's like, I want a yellow something fucking whatever. What was the cushion?
Yellow cushion cut diamond. You couldn't find it.
Impossible to find. Impossible to find.
And I would have killed you if you spent a lot of money on it.
So one of the seminal moments of our relationship, I thought it was really, really... really big, is you said...
Well, wait a minute. I had to fly home early because Angie was sick, remember? So you were still in Holland. I flew home. I got home. I was home. And then you came home.
Right. And at a certain point, you said, I need to talk to you about something. I just need to talk to you about something. The ring is no good.
ladies, if you cannot be honest with your... future
the ring
partner.
Is no good. Now, first of all, so through my head is going Sex in the City, wrong ring, I'm the wrong guy, I'm no good. I mean, I've read all the books.
No,
I've
you
seen
looked
the stories.
At me, you go, are you serious? I'm so tired. You said that to me.
I said, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really great, and I think I did say that you said, you know, I just want a different ring. It doesn't have to be expensive, right? This one I ended up
saving you money, right?
Yep, that's not the point.
Yeah.
And I think I pretty quickly said, you know, I really appreciate that. And we just did it.
Your first reaction was like, that's kind of selfish of you. That was your first reaction.
Did I say selfish?
Because I said, this is really, really hard for me.
I said selfish? I called you selfish.
I don't remember. You didn't, initially you did not take kindly to it.
I said it hurt.
And then you were like, I am so grateful that you feel open and honest enough to tell me that.
Yeah.
So, and I said, let's talk about this. Let's take this back and I'm going to save you a little money.
It had nothing to do with the money.
No, I know it didn't.
Are you happy with your ring?
I love my ring. So, and we picked it out together, and yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Much better.
You did so well though, baby. You really did. It was by far the most romantic experience
you've had in all of your proposals.
Had you ever proposed to somebody like that?
No. No way.
No, it does not. Your proposal doesn't compare at all. At all. I mean, hands down, most romantic. So, I love you.
I love you too, baby. So,
anyway, I don't know how we got on that subject.
I don't know. I don't get everything right, but I sure try damn hard.
Oh, you do. You do. He is the most attentive husband ever, ever. Anyway. So should we do some boostergrams?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. We actually have a boost.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh no, we got all kinds of
boosts.
We got all kinds of boosts. We got massive. So this is how you support us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We've done better. We've had better. We've had better weeks.
Nobody's listening.
No, people are listening. They're not supporting. And if we can't afford the wine, this is an expensive bottle of wine. Hey, now, we got that for free.
But it took you a little bit to get Julie set up. So it takes a little bit to get your wallet set up.
And I'll get there. So first we start, you can also go to curryandthekeeper.com, and there's a whole thing there that if you don't want to use a different podcast app, you can just support us with Bitcoin or with Lightning Bitcoin. And people are using it. We have one anonymous who sent us 28,035 sats. Yeah, appreciate that. Justin, who sent us 25,729 sats. We appreciate that.
Wow, I wonder what that number means. 25,700.
Well, in this case, they're probably, because that has dollar amounts, so they're probably selecting like $15 and it just translates it to whatever it is at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Comic Strip Blogger.
Again?
Always a big booster with us. And he sent 10,033 sats, 10,033, which is the magic number.
I want to meet him.
Okay, Comic Strip Blogger.
We talked about him on the last show.
If he ever comes to America, yes, you must meet him. He is one of the people that brings color to my life.
I know.
He's been in my life for a long, long time.
You've said that.
Yes. Howdy, Tina and Adam. Are you full of love still? He asks. Yes. If your listeners want to learn about artificial intelligence, they are invited to listen to AI.cooking podcast spoken by Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent. Yo. Thank you, Comic Strip Blogger. And he did that through the Podfriend app, Castomatic app. We got, now, this is Dreb Scott.
Ugh.
Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting 2.0, comes in with multiple donations. The first one, 10,000 Satoshis. Love you guys. Music note emoji, Curry and the Keeper. Guitar emoji, music note emoji. Emojis come through. And he did a second one. Love you guys. Boost, Curry and the Keeper. I think what he's referring to is...
Boost.
No, that's not the one. Where's yours? You have a...
Boost.
That's the one. That's me?
That's you.
God, that sounds terrible.
Oliver Living 2 sent us 10,000 sats.
Ooh.
Decent show, this, he says. This is a decent show, this. It must be Brit. Brian Massey, 5,000 sats. And he says, ooh, can Dame Jennifer please do an animated Curry and the Keeper episode for She's Fine, the game show?
Oh, Dame Jennifer, are you listening? That would be so... We did have a few fine moments yesterday. What were we talking about? And I go, oh, it's fine. And you were like, you knew exactly how... Oh,
if I can just say, men of the world... thank you for your feedback. I know I'm on the cutting edge. I'm on the tip of the spear, cutting through the, it's fine that your wives, your women, your queens say to you. And it's been very helpful for us personally because Tina will say, it's fine. I'm like, ah, I think I know what fine that is. And it completely neutralizes the whole heaviness of it.
It's Don't you really, feel better now?
I feel so much better now.
See how much you've learned?
And I'm even throwing fines at you, and you're like, oh, I think I know what that means.
I'm like, as long as it uptalks, it's like it's good.
Sir Doug sent two boostergrams, 4,400 sats, sending some value for value, and another 4,400 with get well soon.
Thank you.
And then let's see, we have Chad Farrow.
Oh, Chad.
Chad F. 3,333. Adam is more like the podcasting 2.0 mascot. I'm not quite sure what he means by that. Cass Peeland has a number of boostergrams. 3,000 sats. Thanks for the show. Then we have Ville. Now, Ville we know, and he says, oh, well, with his 2103 sats. The insults keep coming.
The insults?
Well, he's the guy that told us that you don't have a real sauna.
Oh.
And
Feel free to send one.
And then... And then I think we discussed about how the Swedes will be mad at calling the hot box the sauna. And he says, sauna is from Finland.
At least he's keeping us straight, I guess.
Please. He says, the insults keep coming. Swedes will be mad at calling the hot box sauna Finnish. So what is it, Finnish or Swedish? Your show was good and entertaining. Go podcasting. Thank you. And he sent several boostergrams with this. He sent 2103 three times, actually.
Wow.
Then we have Chaugun, T-S-C-H-A-U-G-N-N-E, unpronounceable. Adam, you're the champion men need for the I'm fine interpretation. Good effort. He says, good effort. Good effort. Then we have 500 sats. I think this is from Julie.
Oh.
Love you so much. Love the show. We had a fun night.
Oh, because I set Julie, her up
on the fountain app, and she got that running.
Yes, so. Adam helped her with that.
She actually sent, the one. Okay. Let's see. We have 500 bots. Sats from anonymous boosts from a displaced citizen. We have another Chad Farrow, 333.
Chad, thank you.
And some more Cos Pelins. Let me see. Do I have your consent? I'm fine. He's still on the I'm fine thing. I'm sorry I'm so rough. Thanks God for all the Podfather is doing. I never was into real life soaps, but you got me hooked. I guess we're kind of like a reality show now.
We're just talking life and we're laughing because this world's on fire.
Regardless, we need your sats. We need your support for wine, charcuterie.
No, we can't eat and talk.
And the gas. Well, we need the outside.
Oh, for the gasifier.
The gasifier.
Because I can't be picking up wood on the side of the road.
Exactly. So we do need your support. This is our long-term retirement plan. We're going to be podcasting to the grave. Please go to curryandthekeeper.com. You can do it there or we're totally podcasting 2.0. I don't think you can even get us on Apple Podcasts unless you add it manually.
Get a new podcast.
Yes. Get a modern podcast app, a new podcast apps.com. Fountain is a great one. Breeze is a great one. CurioCaster, Podfriend, Podverse.
Get off of Apple and get off of,
get off the legacy apps. Yeah. They're shit.
They have not invested in them at all.
No, we're investing in that future. And we appreciate what everyone has done. Thank you so much for sending us all of these.
Thank you.
People love the concept. Boost us. Boost us.
What do you have on your list? I've been talking a lot.
I have a couple of things. I don't know why.
Okay.
Some I have about
it's so interesting when Adam and I are talking, we're like, oh my God, I got to put that on my list. Yeah. I got to put that on my list.
No, it's more like a threat. It's more like, I'm going to put that on my list. So here's one that was from the category, I'm going to put that on my list.
Oh, let's hear it.
Growing older.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to talk about because you, women, perhaps in general, generalizing, get very...
You're not a woman. I'm just reminding you.
I know. But I've lived with women. I live with you. You seem very upset as you get older about your body.
Not very upset. I wouldn't cry.
Look at my face.
I wish you could see his face.
It's a topic that comes up. It's like, I don't like growing old. I don't like what happens. I don't like losing muscle tone, you know, this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people deal with this.
Well, I didn't say I don't like. I said it's interesting what happens to your body as you begin to age. It's just interesting to see it. Because this year, I'm going to turn 60 in July. And
do you feel a day over 30, seriously?
I don't feel a day over, I would say 40. 40. But when you think about that number, it's like, oh my, it's just mind-boggling that I'm going to be that old in July. And so it's interesting to see a lot of things are happening where it's interesting to see just how your body changes, how your skin changes, but also at the same time, how much more accepting you become. And I feel that more with me, accepting. That I'm becoming more accepting of just, you know, I'd much rather be alive. Mm-hmm. And I have all these years of wisdom and memories and experiences and, just so many more wonderful things than thinking about that number.
I would say what I'm noticing is that women, generalizing, feel bad about growing older from just because how they look. Like, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like that this is happening. You know, I've got all these different things. And men have that to, I think, a lesser degree.
Well, because I think a lot of men, as they age, get much more handsome.
But who determines that? I think I'm uglier than that.
You're hot.
Okay, so are you. This is my point. This is exactly my point. I see, because I'm confronted continuously with younger Adam all the time, every day. Oh. Someone posts something.
Oh, yeah, like all the people who are commenting about how short your hair is. Like, well, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's another conversation. Yeah. But and I look at it and I want to say, my God, I haven't changed at all, but I have. And for me, I don't know how it is with you, but I look at myself in pictures today. I see how much older I am. I really see my dad, and I fucking hate that.
Aww.
It's not that I hate my dad, but it's like, oh, fuck. Because, you know, how you identify. There's things I really don't like about him. And even though he's not with us anymore, I don't want, you know, it's like, how many times people have said to me, you're just like your father.
Mm.
Okay. So.
But getting back to women.
But my point is that men and women have it. But I think women are at a disadvantage because society tells you. Society is with all kinds of shit.
I
telling
agree
you,
with
you're
you.
Not you're not beautiful. And it, by the way, this is the conversation we have almost every day. You're so beautiful, I say, and she Aww. Says, "I'm so glad you're blind." Is it true?
You know, yes, and you're right. I think
I am blind. I'm very but close.
I'm like,
up,
I'm glad your eyesight's going, dude.
I'm nearsighted, and you look good, girl. When but, I'm close to you, no, you
and,
look
and
good.
I think you're right. I think we're bombarded by society messages, you know, from mainstream media,
filters from Instagram.
And yes, I do. I am getting to a point though where I'm embracing the whole aging thing. I'm embracing it. And I feel good. I can still work out. I can move my body. I can stay healthy. It's taken a while though. It's hard. It's a hard thing to accept. It really is a hard thing to accept. But
why? Maybe that's not for you personally, but isn't society in general a little messed up about this?
Mm-hmm.
That I mean, believe me, I look at. Of course, I'm looking at older people. I'm looking at Don. I'm looking at Meg. I'm looking at my own parents. Everything. I'm like, as long as my brain still fucking works, I'll be so happy. And I don't care.
And I'm getting to that point. I really am. I'm getting to the point of accepting it. And my comment to you earlier today, or was it yesterday, was that it's interesting how much our bodies change as we age. It's just interesting. And when you're in your youth, you don't accept it, welcome it, embrace it. You're always criticizing it. And you don't even know what's ahead of you as you age. But I am getting to the point where I mean, even saying that I'm going to be 60 in July, that's a huge thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about that in terms of years, mortality? Like, what do you have left?
Not at all. I don't think about that. And more than anything now, it's like, I just want to keep moving my body. I just want to keep moving it. I just want to stay healthy and I want to keep moving it. But yeah, I think that it's a huge, it's a huge issue for a lot of people.
What really triggered me? When we were watching, and just like that, the Sex and the City reboot, which everyone hates except me. I don't know if it was that or no, it must have been a previous. At one point, Samantha has an older boyfriend.
Samantha wasn't in the room.
I know. That's why I'm saying I'm resetting the wherever this was. In one of the somewhere, Samantha had an older boyfriend.
Oh yes, that was in Sex and the City, and he got up to go to the bathroom.
And she looks at his ass.
His butt.
And can I tell you that has traumatized me because I'm now looking, oh my God, I have that fucking ass from Sex and the City. I'm that old guy with the droopy ass. I'm not kidding.
No, baby.
Can I tell you, I'm not kidding. That's
aww. See, so you have it too. You have it too.
So this is part of my point.
Thank God we found each other. Is that both of men, our eyesights are going.
That men also have this.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah. We do. I don't have what most of my peers have, like barrel guts. That's not me.
No.
Most of my peers have that.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not happy about it either.
Yeah. But
it's good to just be able to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. As I turn this milestone birthday.
Fuck milestone. We're going to go to 7-Eleven and get you a big ass free Slurpee.
Oh, yeah, because my birthday's July 11th, 7-Eleven, yeah. So we're getting a free Slurpee. But no, I'm grateful that we're healthy, happy, we're deeply in love, we're grateful, we're building our faith. I'm just embracing it all. Fuck the number. That's how I feel about it.
Fuck the numbers. Is that the show title? Fuck the number.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Yep. What you got on your, what else you got? I got a couple.
Go ahead. Run through your list, babe.
Well, I have lost interest. Let's turn to TV shows.
Oh, yes.
I've lost
yes.
interest in Billions.
You have.
I can't even stand the cadence. I don't know if anybody's watching Billions, but you know, Axe is gone. So now it's Mike Prince. I don't even like his voice, so I promptly fall asleep. But Adam did say, okay, you watched two episodes last night. And he said, look, if there's not sex in the next Billions, if there's no sex, I'm done watching it. Were there sex in the last two episodes that you watched last night?
No.
And he's still invested.
I still like it. I think Prince and Wendy are going to do some... Well, it's
bullshit.
But it's possible that Wendy maybe go back to Chuck and do some fucking leather shit with him.
No.
Yes.
That was season four. That was season one.
Season one. They reeled me in with the leather shit in season one, episode one, and I've been waiting ever since. Yes. But I like the storyline because it's about the corrupt nature of the Olympics and the elites and how cities really work with, you know, the unions and the transportation unions and the mayor and the governor. And there's a lot of real truth in there. And you were sleeping anyway. So what is your fucking problem? You're like, oh, I'm going to watch Billions. And I love you for it, baby.
And I'm like, what time is it? And he's like, 10:30. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
He's like, you're like, I plowed through two episodes.
You were like, you were a sawing wood, baby.
Do you want the rest of this wine? You want to finish it off?
Yeah, of course. What else have we been watching?
So I binged watched Inventing Anna.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see any of that.
Anna Delvey. Delvey, I think I'm saying her name. Who is basically a Russian-German heiress that... basically swindles a lot of people in New York.
Is it a true story?
Yes, it is a true story. And I've started following her on Instagram.
Oh, there you go.
And then SNL even did a skit about it. But she just basically swindled people as she... And she was young, like 24, 25.
Good for her.
And she had this vision of creating this foundation that kind of incorporated culture and art. And she got all of these... these people to kind of buy into her program to get her financing.
Shades of Theranos.
Oh yeah, we haven't watched that. But
I'm bored of that story. But
I
that's exactly
like
how old dudes get all horny for some hot chick who's got an investment. Oh, let's do this.
Yeah, because she didn't have a leg to stand on, and she just lied her way through everything.
Excellent.
It was an interesting show. I liked it. And of course,
what did we watch together?
What do we watch together? Well, we've been watching... I've been with Tommy, Pam and Tommy.
Yeah, I gave up. I gave up on
that. He gave up. I'm still invested in it because I feel sorry for her.
It was, but it It's great acting. Love everything about it. I don't know. Lost it. It's like another episode. Just get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Is there anything else we've been watching?
I mean, all we really watch is Everybody Loves Raymond.
I love Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's our go-to channel, 121 TV Land.
We have to watch Tucker Carlson because Adam needs it for his job. So we have to watch him, and I'm just outraged during the whole.
Well, also, I'd like to watch Tucker to see what, if he can replicate our show exactly, which he does.
Yes.
All the clips we play.
Seriously, I think he pulls a lot of clips from No Agenda.
That's fine.
He's
proud
got producers that are stalking
you. If that's true, I'm proud of that.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we've been watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and we watched one episode of Space Force, but nothing like stands out. I want to watch
really
the one about the
duper.
Uber guy. What's his name?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll watch that. It's kind of thin. It's kind of thin on really good stuff. Do you feel that we're watching anything really? Oh, I got a note about this. Let me see what I get from somebody here. This is Daniel Montana. Adam and Tina have been enjoying Curry and the Keeper since the beginning and No Agenda for a few years now. These movie recommendations might be more No Agenda-ish, but are quite interesting and entertaining. Black Box. Ooh. Is a recent French movie, follows a young investigator on. We're not afraid of foreign movies.
No, not at all.
We like the
actually,
subtitles.
We watch movies with the captions now.
You have to.
Because they sound like they got marbles in their mouth.
It's because they all make.
What is the sound? What's going on with the sound?
All of these streamers have. They have to choose something. So they've chosen to pretty much mix on Dolby 5.1. Which
and
means
for us laymen, what does that
it mean? It means unless you have the right speaker set up, you may be missing some of the center channel, which is literally where the speech comes through. They're mixing it like movie style. And I understand why. They have to make choices, but it makes it hard. And the whole world uses captions.
Yeah, everybody I remember my captions. Daughter does. Yeah. She used to watch everything with captions. And we were like, why are you doing that?
I thought
that's kind of weird.
I thought it was just because added bonus that young kids are distracted and they're doing 15 other things at the same time.
And if somebody has a British accent, forget it. I can't.
See, I have no problem with it. I can get the British accent. I can get most accents, but I can literally sometimes cannot hear. Literally sometimes
cannot hear. And you've got your hearing aids too. So.
And
you've got bionic ears.
I do.
Adam can hear everything.
I do. I'm so happy with my hearing aids. If you're a man and you're finding yourself, this is a big problem for men. I'll say this: men get isolated in their own world when the stigma on getting hearing aids.
Yes,
this huge stigma.
Well, and I have to tell you, when we lived in the apartment, you were ruining my hearing because the TV was up. Like how many dog biscuits?
A lot of dBs.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you're my brain is
at least
rattling.
Was living over this. She'd be like,
shut.
Can you turn the TV? She's in the next room. Can you turn the TV down? But it was really
thank God you got the hearing aids.
I noticed that I was saying, excuse me, what? Excuse
well, the point where it really impacted me is you were listening to something on your headphones and you're like, listen to this. And I put the headphones on.
And your head exploded.
Oh, it hurt my ears. I think you actually ruined my hearing at that point.
I don't think so. So I just want to say
anyway,
to men, because this is a big, I know this now because I've studied this. This is a big problem for men. They have great hearing aids. You don't see them. People have no idea I have hearing aids in. They don't see
it's
it. They don't
it's
know
been
it.
A life changer for you, for sure.
Huge life changer.
Yeah,
It is. You have to go to an audiologist. If you find yourself saying, sorry, darling, what? Excuse me, what? Huh? Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Because what the next step is, either you're not going to ask for a repetition. You're going to be like, I didn't hear it, whatever. That's when the fucking
it was kind of well, it was kind of good when you didn't have hearing aids because then it was like any bodily functions you didn't hear.
Are you embarrassed by that? Embarrassed by bodily functions? Because I'll have you know, I hear you.
Damn it!
I love you so much. You could take a dump on my head, girl. It really doesn't matter. This is another thing. Women of the world, please. The dudes are okay with it. We get
Find a man that loves you for just you.
Here's my theory that when you that women when men are not looking, all of a sudden, they flip, they go around the room like a balloon.
We've gotten so comfortable now. It's not quite like that. But we've gotten so comfortable now that we're like, we don't care what we say to each other. So it's pretty good.
But we don't do that in front of each other.
No,
of course not. Respectful. We have respect. I'm just saying, it's like, it's okay, baby. It's like, let loose.
Thanks, Adam.
Who brought it up? Clearly, there's something you have an issue with it.
You're awesome. I love you. Oh, baby, do you have so anything much. Else on your list? I have one other thing.
Go ahead.
We're going to take golf lessons.
Apparently, what we just talked about at lunch today is on the list as done. But yeah.
We're going to do it. I took golf lessons back in 1993. I was actually pretty decent. I was pretty good. My own golf clubs. Oh, I was pretty good.
Both
yeah.
my parents were.
I'd probably kick your ass.
Probably. Both my parents were avid golfers. My sister Willow is a mm-hmm. very avid golfer. I did play at the Amsterdam Golf Links.
But didn't she have the highest score ever recorded in history?
Well, I'll get to that in a moment. So when I was young, like 12, 13, my parents were like, come to the golf club. And, you know, that's okay. I can hit a ball. But we were talking at lunch today. I'm like, you know, Vic lives on the golf course, and next time I go up to Vic's place, it's probably like, let's go help. Maybe I should get into golf. You know, it's a very Texas thing.
It's cool. A very Texas thing?
Yes. Cool ass dudes golf.
Really?
Texas Slim.
You going to wear white pants?
No. No.
Plaid?
I'm going to have the No Agenda Shop make some golf outfits for us. You kidding me? That's going to be great. And I was thinking about it. I was like, that's actually pretty good exercise. You know, there's a million golf. Texas is a golf state. People don't. And it's
really? Yes. I never realized that.
UT has their own official golf course. Well, even. Oh. Is that typical?
I think that is typical.
But Texas Slim, the real Texas dudes play golf. It's a thing. I didn't realize it. But when I was talking to him about it, we grew up playing golf in addition to everything else. And so we're talking about that at lunch. And I'm like, yeah, we should do that. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we went to lunch today.
The reason why I don't golf, why I've had problems with it, is because in 2006, there was a big offsite for all the Kleiner Perkins invested companies, big venture capital company firm in Silicon Valley. And we had raised $50 million from them. They got none of it back. And so they took us all to Pebble Beach. Not unknown. And
First,
Al Gore presented his Inconvenient Truth movie, which no one had seen yet. So I've been through some shit. And I'm like, and then it was like, okay, now we have the whole Pebble Beach. And Ray Lane, who was one of the top partners, like, you're coming with me. He got me shoes. I'm like, Ray, I can't golf. Doesn't matter, you're doing it. And I'm like chipping the fucking course there's grass flying. There's like boom, 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 8 strokes a hole. It's horrible. But, you know, I'm just like kind of hobbling along. I'm driving the cart more than anything. And then that evening, they do like we have a dinner.
Yeah, they have the awards.
Mm-hmm. And there's some fucking asshole. I don't know who that is. They did awards. Oh, the best on the course was this guy and that guy. We have a special award for Adam Curry, everybody, for most strokes on this course ever.
How many was it? Do you know?
It was
like 500?
Baby, a million strokes. But they really fucked with my head on that. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you guys. Fuck all of you.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Strong language there, babe.
Yeah. It's like they embarrassed me publicly by doing that.
Oh, well, you know what? We're going to change that. We're going to get out there. We're going to take lessons. We're going to have fun. And I'm probably going to kick your ass, but it's okay.
It's okay to be kicked by a girl's ass. It's not cool for a bunch of Silicon Valley a-holes to be making fun of me. That's not cool. No.
Look at how you've emerged from that, though. You're all good.
Oh, I can't wait to go back and see them.
There you go.
Yes. Tina Marie.
Yes, baby.
I love you so much.
I love you, too.
Will you do this podcast with me again in like 2 weeks? Like
for sure. I will be here. For sure. Wine in hand.
I can't wait to... can I have some of your meatballs now?
You can.
Your balls?
Yes, you can have my balls.
Thank you, everybody. Remember to support this show if you want it to continue by going to newpodcastapps.com. That's where you can boost us. Or go to KoreanTheKeeper.com.
She can keep in line. Everything's fine. You got all that you need. Korean the Keeper.